a love story. But not your kind of Valentine love, eh? Huh? I want to show you a love story, and from it, hopefully, you'll understand the depth of what Christ did for us. Eh? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Eh? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me take you on a journey for a moment. If you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the Bible says that God speaks and says, let there be, let there be, let there be. We know that that's the connotation of the Father in Scripture, because throughout the Old Testament, the Son, especially the Son, is hidden. Okay? Why? Because the entire Old Testament is the dispensation of the Father. You with me? So in Genesis chapter 1, we see a Father speaking. But you have to understand that in the beginning, it was the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Because the name Jesus was secret. You with me? Now, from the very beginning, whenever the Father, by the way, in the Bible, if I might say, the Father, God the Father, does not enter the physical realm absent of the Word. He's always in spirit. Anyone who encounters God Father encounters him in the Bible in vision, dreams, but in the spirit realm. Any manifestation of God in the physical is the Word made flesh in a form. We call it a theophany. A theophany is when the Christ appears in the Old Testament, but he's not pointed out as the Christ. You with me?
Yes.
So, in the Old Testament, the Father speaks in Genesis chapter 1 and creates things. In Genesis chapter 2, we see God physically forming Adam. And I said, in order for God to enter the realm of the physical, the Word has to be manifest. And so it's then safe to say that Jesus was forming Adam. The Word was forming Adam. Because everything that is manifested in a physical form, that has an interaction with the physical world, it has to be God Word in the Old Testament. You with me? Now, he forms Adam. He is the one in Scripture who Adam actually refers to as the voice walking in the garden. Not God the Father. Because in order to interact with the physical realm, the Word has to come into the physical. So he was the one walking in the garden. Praise the living God. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, the seed of woman will trample upon the head of the serpent. So he's the seed. We see him as a symbol that in the garden, he was the tree of life. He's a symbol. And so throughout the Old Testament, the Word is there. He's involved, but he's secret. Because the relationship that there is between Father and Son, the love that is between Father and Son, he never wants to overshadow the Father. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the entire Old Testament, he's involved in processes. He appears in theophanies. He appears in allegories, appears in prophecies, appears in patterns, but secretly hiding himself, because this is the dispensation of the Father. Okay? So for 4,400 years, men prophesy, men talk, men have encounters with God, but very few know that there is a Word who is the Son of God. So the entire time, he is a shadow in the background of the four person who is the Father. But the love that the Father has for the Son knows that even if this is my dispensation, I must show you that my love exists. So throughout the entire Old Testament, he litters different aspects showing that there is a Son. Yeah. Once in a while, people who have had relationship with God begin to tap into the fact that there's a son in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Psalms 110, David is caught up in the spirit. Now, a little side note. The book of Psalms is a concoction of four books. It's a put together of four books. Okay? Now, David, every time he's writing a particular psalm in the book of Psalms, every time he writes a psalm, he writes in various capacities. There are times he writes as a psalmist, Psalm 150. There are times he writes as a priest. There are times that he writes as a prophet. There's a time he writes as a king. He gives decrees. All those are different ways in which one man is being caught up but writing different things. So not all psalms are prophecies. Psalms 110 from verse 1 is a prophecy. One day, David is alone and is caught up in the spirit. What he sees, he says, "The Lord said to my Lord," there, what he sees, he doesn't hear it, he doesn't feel it, he sees it. He doesn't just enter the realm of a prophet, he's also a seer. Now let me explain. All seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. Every seer is a prophet. But not all prophets see. Some of them are hearers. Some of them are feelers. Some of them just get certain aspects of knowledge put within their spirits. Are you with me? So David is one day caught up, and Psalms 110, something prophetic lands on him, and the entire heavens opens up. When it opens up, he sees the Lord said to my Lord. He has first had an actual revelation of a son. And so he sees it. He says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." He sees it in the spirit. It's an allegory of the son. His son Solomon goes a bit deeper, because Solomon says in Proverbs 30 verse 4, it's my understanding. I'm not sure people understood what he caught. Proverbs 30 verse 4. He says, "Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If you know." Now, are you with me? So Solomon is caught up and gets a revelation of a son in which people in the Old Testament could not have got, because it was not his dispensation. The Bible says of Abraham, Genesis chapter 22, the Bible says of Abraham, he's taking his son up. God has told him to go and sacrifice his son. Take me to verse 7. Genesis 22 verse 7. The Bible says that Isaac turns to Abraham and asks. He says, "My father, here I am, my son. Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." And I've taught this before, that when you go on with the story in Genesis 22, a ram appears, not a lamb. What Abraham actually kills later is a ram, not a lamb. That means that statement is incomplete. He said God shall provide for himself a lamb. Later, John the Baptist finishes the statement. He says, "Behold the lamb who takes away the sin of the world." People who are separated by generations, both prophets, but speaking a language, and they know when one is supposed to speak and another is supposed to finish. So Jesus shows up and is the lamb that Abraham talked about. He shows up and John says, "Behold the lamb who takes away the sin of the world." That's why later, Jesus, when he's speaking of Abraham, he says in John 8, he says, "Your father Abraham longed to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Saw it when? Genesis 22. You're with me? I'm getting somewhere. I'm just repeating a few things now. So David is caught up. Psalms 110. Go back to Psalms 110. We're going through a story. So David is caught up. Solomon captures a revelation that God actually has a son. For 4,000 years, it's a mystery. Then there are 400 years of silence in which there is no prophet, and John shows up. Now, please understand, let's go back a bit. The Bible says that there's a woman who is a virgin who has been prophesied in the Bible that she shall give birth to the Christ. That woman who is prophesied one day is chilling somewhere, and an angel who has rank in the spirit shows up. When that angel shows up, this is what he says. He says, amongst other things, he says, out of your womb shall come a son, and you shall name him Jesus. The first time we get that revelation of that name. Jesus meaning Yeshua, Savior. From the time Jesus was born, anyone who was close to him called him Jesus. Anyone who did not know him called him Jesus of Nazareth. The revelation of Jesus as Jesus Christ was a secret. Oh Lord. Megan, because Christ is not a name. Christ is an office. The anointed one. That's what Christ means. He's not called Jesus Christ by people who don't have a revelation. They call him either Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, but not the Christ. For 30 years, the Son of God, who has been there from beginning to end, the Son of God, who Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Son of God, he walks 30 years on the face of the earth with people calling him Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Until one day, at the age of 30, he's baptized. When he's baptized, the Spirit comes upon him. That's when he becomes now the Christ. And the anointed one. You're with me? But even though he has become the anointed one, at that point, even though he has become the Christ at that point, he hasn't fully entered that office. Because to fully enter it, he must die and resurrect. But you see, the thing was so secret to such an extent that only people who could have tapped into God, the Father, could have known that indeed this is the Christ. Because the Bible says that one day Jesus is standing before his disciples, says, who do you say that I am? And the Bible says the Father, somehow Peter's spirit is opened up. He connects to the Father in the heavens, and the Father speaks through Peter. Now, then he says two things. Thou art the Christ. One, the Son of the living God. Those are two different things. He mentions an office and mentions the person. Then Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who art in heaven. He heard Peter speaking and knew the voice of his dad. Now, I want you to understand this love story. So the moment that this seed, this baby, is put into the womb of Mary, the virgin, the Bible says there is no man who is involved in the process. She just receives a baby in her belly. And the Bible says that holy thing within you. Okay? So it's put inside there. Give me Romans 8:5. Okay, start with verse 3. Okay. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He did not send him in sinful flesh. He had a likeness of it. It was a likeness. Just like you were created in the likeness of God, but you're not God. Oh, Lord. You're getting what I'm saying? So the Son steps into a flesh that has a likeness. It has no sin on it. Okay? He steps into it. He grows up for years. The Bible says that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both men and God. Stature there is rank in the spirit. That means every time he walked with God, he was growing in rank. You're with me? Praise the living God. And so that same Jesus, now, when he grows up, he enters the world. Even when he's on earth, even during his dispensation, he says, I do nothing unless I see my Father. That's the relationship between Father and Son, never separate. The only time throughout history that those two were separated was at the cross, when he asked, my God, why have thou forsaken me? It was the first time since the beginning of the foundations of the earth that two lovebirds are separated for you and I. But that's not what I want to share. Praise the Lord. I told you we're going through a story here. And so, from the Old Testament, okay, you can have a seat. From the Old Testament, the entire time, Jesus is the focus, but he's in the background. The Bible says that three men appear before Abraham. One of them is God, the other two are angels. That is the Christ before he comes. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so the entire time in the Old Testament, Jesus is there doing his work.